Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Liberty Counsel is at the forefront in helping to defend the American people against the radical LGBT lobby. I'm Matt Barber, founder of barbwire.com, and joining me today is Roger Ganim, the Vice President of Legal Affairs for Liberty Counsel. And Roger, one case that Liberty Counsel has been working on is in Jacksonville, Florida. You have been arguing before the courts out there. You and I talked about this on Faith and Freedom last month, and you have some updates for the listeners. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. Thanks, Matt. In Jacksonville, we have actually filed suit on behalf of a Jacksonville resident concerned about the passage of this, they call it Human Rights Ordinance or HRO. It's just like any other sexual orientation, gender identity, or SOGI law. It makes sexual orientation and gender identity protected categories under regular non-discrimination law that protects people based on things like race and age and other characteristics like that. But we filed a lawsuit because the ordinance that was passed by the city council does not comply with Florida law. It doesn't even comply with Jacksonville's law or the city council's own rules. And what happened is the activists who pushed this law through the city council, they did it by omitting legally required language so that they could make it shorter and so that they could message it to the Jacksonville people that this was new and different, that somehow this wasn't the same law that had failed in Jacksonville two prior times. The truth of the matter is they were only able to accomplish that by lying about what was in the ordinance. So we filed suit to ask a court to invalidate it, to throw it out, and force them to start all over, and this time be honest with the people of Jacksonville. And what people may not realize is after the very famous Houston failure of a law like this, when the city of Houston, its residents voted 60% to 40% to reject a similar law passed by the Houston City Council, the Human Rights Campaign, the National Gay Rights Organization, made a list of other big cities where they might focus their efforts. And Jacksonville was at the top of that list. So the Jacksonville ordinance that we filed a lawsuit against had its genesis in years of activism and the Human Rights Campaign specifically targeting Jacksonville to be their next target after their epic failure in Houston.
Okay, so as we have seen so often when it comes to the progressive left, the only way that they can get any kind of momentum on their agenda and their demands, the demands in this case particularly of groups like the Human Rights Campaign and other extremist left-wing sexual anarchy organizations, is to use subterfuge and engage in a disinformation campaign. We saw it in Houston. And if that fails, and if that starts to fall short, and as the word gets out and as the truth gets out, as we saw in Houston, they engage in bullying tactics. So we saw the former mayor there in Houston actually trying to subpoena the sermons of a number of pastors in gross violation of the First Amendment, and they invalidated a number of petitions that were signed in order to repeal the ordinance there in Houston. So they're using the same kind of tactics, it seems, here outside of the courtroom, Roger, in order to try to push this through and effectively trick people into believing that this is something that it is not, correct?
That's absolutely right. And the deception goes even further than the specific language they used in this version. They've managed to hoodwink the business community in Jacksonville to think that it makes economic sense to pass a law like this. The truth is there's no evidence whatsoever that a SOGI law in a municipality has any impact on the economy. But what is true is that if you don't fall in line and support laws like this, and you're a company, you will have things said about you. You will be accused of discrimination. You will be accused of bigotry if you don't get behind this kind of law. So the only way it makes business sense is that Businesses are afraid of what people will say about them. They're afraid of what organizations like Human Rights Campaign will say about them publicly if they don't fall into line. And so the business community, unfortunately, has fallen for this deception and really lacks courageous leaders to say, we don't need this law. It will not help anyone. It's going to cause more discrimination than it prevents. But we're still waiting for those courageous leaders to step up and resist this pressure. And like you said, it's really all rooted in deception, because the truth of the matter is it's a bad law and nobody needs one of these.
Well, and we've seen that tactic tried and true, used so many times by the left in order to try to push these, you know, when they lose the argument on the merits, which they have here because it is so disingenuous, to try to compare, for instance, a person's sexual temptations, attractions, or gender confusion, if they believe somehow that they're a man trapped in a woman's body, and to try to force everyone to play along in that delusion. It's so dishonest and disingenuous to try to compare that to neutral qualities such as skin color or people with an objective disability rather than these subjective feelings and behaviors. So it's really comparing apples to oranges, and this is kind of a novel concept in recent years that they have tried to get those kinds of suspect minority class protections. But when they start to lose on the merits, they engage in the ad hominem. You're a homophobe, you're a bigot, you're a bully. And so that's what it sounds like a lot of the business community in Jacksonville is falling for. And we've seen, for instance, in North Carolina, even with massive boycotts in the NBA after the law there to protect the privacy and safety of women in bathrooms, to protect them from men entering their showers and so forth. In North Carolina, that was ground zero for an attempt to affect the economy with boycotts and so forth. And it hasn't been a blip. In fact, the economy is still booming in North Carolina. So it's, again, it's all based on disinformation, right?
That's absolutely right. The threats in North Carolina, while they may have caused some immediate pain, it really was more of a media campaign to cast aspersions on North Carolina for daring to stand up for the protection of the women and girls in that state. And as you said, on a statewide basis, there's barely been a blip in their economic activity as a result of this. And the same types of tactics have been used in Jacksonville. The proponents of this law are holding the NCAA decisions about where to schedule basketball games over the head of the people in Jacksonville, as if every once in a while event like an NCAA basketball game should be more important than the daily lives of the people of Jacksonville, the business owners, the good people there who don't discriminate, who are fair and welcoming to all people, and just don't want another regulation piled on top of them that's going to force them to change how they view employees, how they structure their facilities to keep everyone safe, and to try to figure out just what are they dealing with when these fluid and subjective characteristics like sexual orientation and gender identity are thrust upon them. It's really not fair to the people of Jacksonville. It was not fair to the people of Charlotte when it led to North Carolina's law. Would that more state legislators and governors would follow the lead of North Carolina and be decisive about the protection that's needed, regardless of the consequences. You know, sometimes doing the right thing costs a little money, but the benefit to the people is far greater than any economic loss or temporary economic loss.
Right, right. Well, meanwhile, let's move up the coast a bit here to Richmond, Virginia, in a case stemming from Fairfax County, Virginia. Matt Staver, Liberty Counsel's founder and chairman, just recently argued before the Virginia Supreme Court in Lafferty v. Fairfax. We're running short on time here, but give us a summary of what's going on in that case.
Well, that's a case where the Fairfax County School Board went beyond what state law allows to pass their own sexual orientation and gender identity policy for Fairfax County schools. You know, like we're seeing around the country, schools are ground zero for this kind of social experimentation on kids, trying to teach them that these are normal and good things to follow. Because it violated state law, Liberty Counsel filed suit and was just heard in the Virginia Supreme Court on this issue. And the goal there, like in Jacksonville, is to strike down the illegal policy adopted by Fairfax County schools and force the leaders of that school board to be accountable to the citizens, you know, whom it's trying to impose this policy on. So we're hopeful to get a ruling soon from the Virginia Supreme Court in validating that illegal policy.
Right. And the folks there in Fairfax County, the school board, violated the Dillon Rule in order to try to push this through. They violated Virginia law in order to try to push this through. So this should be an open and shut case. Well, Liberty Counsel is at the forefront in defending the American people against these type of radical LGBT policies that place women and children at risk and seek to indoctrinate the minds of young people and undermine our First Amendment guaranteed religious liberties. Liberty Counsel relies upon your financial gifts, your prayer support, and your general support in order to do these things and protect these United States religious liberty and the family. Go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org, to find out more.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. Become an active partner of Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community and across the nation. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. Call us at 407-875-1776. The website again, lc.org.